Vikings football. Before we speculate and say nice things about you, thank you very much for having me on your podcast.
You're a great guest.
After your passion, your miracle shined
thank
through,
you. And we saw, if anybody listens, they saw why you are as good at
thank you.
What you do.
You're very nice. It was my honor. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, we just, in watching your confab, either for profit or for private with Sean Payton, you know, we, you know, in the cornfield, you bring up Sean Payton, you think Bounty Gate, mocking the skull chant, almost beat us, and we had the miracle. So it's a dynamic talker in the Twin Cities. But you can't dispute, you know, when it comes to Payton and or Mickey Loomis and the work they did with the draft last year, holy cow, what a draft they had.
Listen, they had the offensive rookie of the year and the defensive rookie of the year. That hasn't happened in 50 years. And it was not just Alvin Kamara and Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
It was Ryan Ramczyk. It was Marcus Williams, who Minneapolis knows and loves very,
he's your favorite right now, yes.
He was Minneapolis' defensive rookie.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
Yeah. We changed the city to Marcus-apolis after the miracle.
There you go. That would have been a good radio call there, Paul.
Yeah, it would have been all right.
You used that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many people complained to me after the call, right after your podcast, that, Paul, you know, there are more fans in the state than just Minneapolis. It should have been the Minnesota Miracle. And I'm like, oh, my God, everything's happening so fast.
I told you what I liked. I told you what I liked for that.
The mini miracle.
That is nice.
And you know what? Off the way we performed against the Eagles the very next week, it was a truncated
miracle.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that really, listen, Minneapolis Miracle stuck. It was a great call.
Aww.
Radio call was awesome. But I'm just telling you.
Right.
No disrespect intended. Mm-hmm. Mini Miracle is a perfect moniker for that play.
So with the Saints, and you know, given we are in a market where the Vikings need to figure out their 2018 quarterback.
Yeah.
I believe Drew Brees will play for Mr. Payton next year. And yeah,
he
when Drew comes out and says, you know, I want to play, but we just keep going day after day after day without anything being done. So like, is there a chance Drew Brees hits free agency?
No, Sean Payton said the deal is going to get done. It's going to get done sooner rather than later. He just said that.
The interview
is going to run on ESPN NFL Live.
Sweet.
So that deal is going to get done with the Saints. The question is, what is the number going to be? And Mickey Loomis, the Saints GM, and Tom Condon, the agent for Drew Brees, have to get together and figure out what that number is going to be, and we'll see what it comes in at. My guess is it'll be in the mid-20s.
Yeah.
So there will be that deal, and I don't think Drew Brees will be in play to become the Minnesota Vikings starting quarterback. I think that you guys will have to go in a different direction, but we'll see how that plays out.
And that's all we talk about here, basically.
No, I would imagine.
So, all right, everything you're hearing.
You're the best. Seriously. This is unbelievable.
Everything you're hearing at Kirk, where do you think this thing goes with Kirk, and who are the viable suitors, and do you have a sense how this thing's going to shake out?
I have a little bit of a sense. I would say this, that when you look at the Kirk Cousins situation, I don't believe that there's going to be a team that is more aggressive and eager and, frankly, desperate than the New York Jets.
Yes.
And they've got a lot of cap space.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to come at Kirk Cousins harder than any other team in the league. There are going to be minimum three viable suitors. Bill Polian told me this morning that there's a fourth team that I don't know.
Really?
Who's going to be getting in on this, that if the price is right. But the price is not going to be right.
No.
So whatever team Bill is referring to, and I had this conversation with him off the set. That's great, Bill. You've got your team. We'll call it the Colts, even though it's not the Colts. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
The Colts are going to be interested if the price is right. The price isn't
going to
be
right.
It's just not going to be right because the Jets are going to make it such that it's not right. The Broncos are going to make it such that it's not right. Now, I don't expect the Browns to be there. And the Vikings, I think the Vikings will be interested at their own price.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now the question becomes, if you're Kirk Cousins, and we can make up numbers here, okay? Let's put the Jets in at 30.
Yep.
Let's put the Broncos in at 25. And let's put the Vikings in at 22.
Ew.
Hold on.
I don't think you can win that.
I'd like
to
put us at 26, if you don't mind.
Okay, but I don't know if the Vikings want to go to 26.
All right.
But that's fine.
All right, but let's play out your scenario.
Let's go 30, 25, 23.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
Fair.
Okay. All right.
You're Kirk Cousins. You want to go to a franchise that hasn't won, go play in the New York media market, which is very difficult, for $30 million a year.
After you've made $44 the last 2 years.
Do you want to go to Denver, go play for John Elway on a good defense for $25, or do you want to go to the best plug-and-play situation out there for $23? And again, I'm making these numbers up,
sure,
right?
Right.
But you get the idea of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The Jets are going to be at one price. The Broncos are going to be at another price. The Vikings are going to be at a third price. The other factor to consider, the agents, this is a huge deal to them.
Oh, yeah.
And the NFLPA is going to provide a lot of pressure to make it such that this deal becomes a benchmark deal in terms of the guarantees that there are. Mm-hmm. You said that too, Paul?
Yeah.
They're going to want this deal to be maybe fully guaranteed.
Ugh, wow.
And the agents are going to want a big number. So now when we got those three offers that we're talking about from the Jets and the Broncos and the Vikings, are the agents and the PA going to be pushing into sign with Minnesota? Or is the player going to feel strongly enough that he's going to say, I don't really care what the PA wants.
Right. Yeah.
I don't care about your record deal, agents. I want to go play in Minnesota. And I'm willing to do that for less. And I don't know what his thinking will be on this, but I will just say this to you, that I believe some version of what I'm describing to you is how it's going to play out.
Yeah.
Who is who's Kirk's agent?
He's got a gentleman by the name of Mike McCartney.
Okay.
Whose father is Bill McCartney, the former CU football coach. And there's a long lineage of McCartneys around the NFL, and they've got a great client list, and they've done a lot of great deals over time. But this is a benchmark deal.
Oh, for sure. He'll be the highest paid player in the NFL whenever this thing gets done, right? Aaron Rodgers gets his deal.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's coming up. So it is. Do we have any reason to believe that Kirk's frustration with the inability to get anything done with Washington is in any way fractured his relationship with his agent, and that, you know, maybe that, you know, this is all about him and the Redskins organization, right?
No. What happened in Washington, he and his agent are in a lockstep. They're on the same page. There's no issues from what – by the way, what his agent and he did in Washington is brilliant.
And
they put themselves into a situation where no quarterback has ever played on two consecutive franchise deals and then hit the market in the third year. Like, he's pocketed $44 million, and let's just say the next deal is fully guaranteed or 80% guaranteed or whatever it is. I mean, and let's say it's a middle number, $25 million. Kirk Cousins is going to make enough money for the children of his children's children.
Correct.
Of course, yeah.
Adam, if you had to bet who the Vikings quarterback would be next year, on whom would you bet?
I'm not a betting man, Paul.
Right.
And I don't want to pick that.
Because
I don't know.
Because you want the right answer.
That's exactly
right. You'll pick it when you break it.
Well, you know what? You know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. I pick the quarterback in our fun game of betting, and all of a sudden – there's a headline in some blog. Adam Schefter says that
quarterback
is going to be the quarterback. And when I don't know who's going to be the quarterback, I'm telling you, I don't know
that's very
who's
going to
be the quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I think there's a chance it'll be Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
And I think there's a chance it'll be Case Keenum. And I think the Vikings will have one of those two quarterbacks. But I don't know which one.
Do you think there's a chance it blows up on Minnesota? In other
words?
Well,
yeah, that could happen. Look,
right.
The one thing in these free agent situations is you never know how they play out. And sometimes, even when I'm in the thick of covering a certain transaction or player, I'm like, wow, I didn't see that coming, and I've been working on this for weeks.
Yep.
So could all of a sudden Kirk Cousins pick the Jets, and Case Keenum says, you didn't tag me, I'm going to Denver, and then Minnesota's left with Bradford and Bridgewater and Kyle Slaughter. Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah.
That could happen. And it's up to the Vikings to make sure that something like that doesn't happen. But I'm just telling you, these things take funny, strange twists and turns.
ESPN insider Adam Schefter, 9 to noon. Couple of quickies to close.
Do you think there's any scenario out there, even if it's pretty improbable, where the Vikings actually miss out on Cousins and the three current Viking quarterbacks?
No. No, I don't think that'll be the case, because they may miss out on Cousins and or Keenum. And I don't think that will happen, but I'm just saying it's possible. It could.
Yeah.
But if that were to happen, I don't believe Teddy Bridgewater is going to have some huge market out there.
Agreed. Right?
And I don't think Sam Bradford's going to have some huge market out there. So if in the unexpected case the Vikings got jammed and misread it and misplayed it and mishandled it and didn't land one of these two guys, I do believe that Bradford and Bridgewater are always comfortable, safe fallback positions. I don't think that's an issue. Yeah. But – with no disrespect to those guys, I don't think that's the direction you want. You want to get Cousins or Keenum, I think, right here. That's what I would want to do.
Agreed.
Yeah. I would love to have Bradford back if he doesn't have to be the automatic starter. That'd be a best-case scenario, but I don't think it's going to happen. transitioning to this draft, Saquon Barkley is an amazing athlete, maybe the best player in this draft. But as you know, the market on running backs, as we're finding, you know, Alvin Kamara's rookie of the year coming out of the third round. Kareem Hunt was probably, I think, might have been second in rookie of the year voting. He came out of the third round. Where do you, is there a scenario out there where Barkley, maybe best player of the draft, isn't taken through the first series of picks in this draft?
No.
No.
No, he's going to get picked.
He's just that good.
I don't study these college players like Mel Kiper and Tom McShay and Mike Mayer. I don't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, I listen to the people who know what they're talking about. This is what I've heard about Saquon Barkley. Best running back since Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. Yep.
Better prospect than Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, and Leonard Fournette.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
All of whom are top picks. Now, again, you know, I've watched him some. I've seen highlights. But I'm just telling you, the scouts, the personnel people, the people who do this for a living, they believe he's a generational talent, and we'll see whether or not he actually turns out to be. But that's what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I could make an argument to you. I don't think Cleveland takes him at one, although I think the Browns will consider him.
Yeah.
I think the Giants will strongly consider him at two.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Colts will strongly consider him at three. The Browns, if they don't take him at one and he's still there, would consider him at four.
Yeah.
The Broncos at five, I don't see. The Jets at six, if they sign Cousins, I could absolutely see.
Good. You bet.
I mean,
yeah.
Forte just retired, yeah.
We got a lot of landing spots for Saquon Barkley. That's not going to be an issue.
He's
not getting very far.
Last one. The market, obviously, from a leverage standpoint, the market never will be higher for Nick Foles from a Philadelphia Eagles standpoint. I mean, if I'm with the Eagles, I'd want to have him on the team because of what I just saw and what happened to Wentz. Mm-hmm. But do you think anything happens with Nick Foles?
I absolutely do not. And I'll say this to you. We've seen that the Eagles are very shrewd quarterback dealers.
Tell us about it. Really? You don't say.
I think you know that, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did they get for Bradford?
They ended up getting Darren Barnett, the defensive end.
A 1-4.
Yeah.
A 1-4, okay?
Yeah.
Let's play this out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Bradford ever go to a Super Bowl?
No.
Sam Bradford ever win a Super Bowl MVP?
No, he hasn't been to a playoff game, Adam.
Okay. Paul, let's, again, extrapolate a little bit. If you got a quarterback that has outperformed Sam Bradford on a team that has been proven to be aggressive and shrewd when it comes to quarterback trades, what do you think they would take for Nick Foles to make that deal?
First and a fourth.
Bill Polian argued that it would be a 2 1s and 2 2s, which, ooh, I think is steep. Hold,
yeah,
on.
That's really steep.
I don't think there's a team in the league that would give up much more than a third or a second for Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be a team that would give up a two. By the way, when the playoffs started, everybody's questioning whether the Eagles can win a playoff game because of Nick Foles, and then in two games – three games, he turns it around. Now we're talking about whether he's worth two ones and two twos.
Yeah.
So it's a reactionary society that we live in. But the fact of the matter is, if we're going to just boil it down to its basics, I think if a team realistically was going to approach the Eagles,
yeah,
I think they'd probably offer a conditional three. They could go to a two, which the Eagles would, I think, laugh at,
yeah,
especially considering that Wentz is coming off a torn ACL and LCL, and we don't know when he's going to be back. We think he'll be back for the start of the season, but there are no assurances. And for all we know, he starts the season on pup. So no deal for Nick Foles. That's not happening.
He's worth more to them to keep than he is, than they'll get in a trade.
How closely did you follow your beloved Michigan Wolverines last year?
In football or basketball?
Football.
I watched them.
Because they have this three-technique defensive lineman named Maurice. Yeah. And I know, and knowing Zimmer as well as I do, he wants a three-technique badly to complete that defensive line. And in doing some work on Hurst, Maurice Hurst looks really, really good.
And Minnesota's picking 20?
30.
30?
Yeah.
I think that there's a realistic chance that Maurice Hurst would be there.
Yeah.
And I think that that would be an ideal marriage. Maurice Hurst is a really good football player. So,
hey, thank you very much.
Thanks,
I appreciate
lot,
it. Thanks again for the podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Call or text anytime you need anything.
And likewise.
Okay, thank you. Adam Schefter, ESPN Insider.